Hey y'all, I'm Sammy, your host of the You Were Made for More podcast. John 10:10 is a promise that Jesus came down to earth so that we would have life and have it abundantly. My prayer is that this podcast and all of the content that we put out would remind every student that they were made for more, simply because of who they were created to be. My own walk with the Lord and my relationships with the teenagers that I disciple have shown me that once we understand whose we are, the game changes. Or in other words, transformation happens. Our identity changes everything. We recognize that it takes investment and partnership between the church and parents to raise teens who know and believe who they are in Jesus, and we're here to help. So buckle up as we take this journey and take a look at what God has to say about friendships, relationships, sexuality, dating, and all the things in between. On today's episode of You Were Made for More, we have a conversation that I really think is going to inspire new ideas. It's going to encourage you to be active wherever you are. This conversation is with Christine Yergin, and Christine experienced an unplanned pregnancy. That's part of her testimony, and now she is very, very active in the pro-life movement. She founded Be There Village, which is a simple social media movement that she has created through recognizing a need, being proactive with what she could do and the resources that she had, and moving forward with that idea with the help of other people to better the world, to better the pro-life movement. That is what she does. She helps women in unplanned pregnancies who are facing vulnerable situations and decisions. She helps them choose life by partnering with them, by providing them very practical things that they need for the first year of the baby's life, by walking with them. You'll hear her say it in this conversation, for as long as they welcome her walking with them. We talk about very practical ideas that each and every one of you can do in your own communities. It does not have to be extravagant. It doesn't have to be scary. We talk about simple, practical things in order to inspire you guys to get involved in the pro-life movement as we head into the Sanctity of Life month of January, wherever you are. I encourage you to follow Christine on social media, follow Be There Village on social media, reach out to us. We would love to connect to you so that we can all do more, that we can be their village, like Christine says, and that we would be able to play a small part in helping women choose life. Let's dive into my conversation with Christine. All right, Christine. So thank you so much for joining me today. I always like to start out these conversations and these podcasts with asking our guests to share like a mini Spark Notes version of who you are. And obviously, like, I'll link your bio and all that stuff, but I like hearing it from you. Like, where can we find you on a daily basis? What are you up to these days? What does life look like for you?
Yeah. So my name is Christine Yergin, and I guess I would say that I am a social media content creator, podcast host with Students for Life. I do baby registries for women in unplanned pregnancies. I had my own unplanned pregnancy many years ago. I have a 16-year-old son now because of it. And It's that pregnancy that led me to get involved in the pro-life movement as a whole. And I just want to, I guess ultimately, I have a heart to protect children. And that extends to the womb as well. So whether you're inside the womb or outside the womb, we see abortion being something that is targeting babies inside the womb. We see, the over-sexualization of society and gender theory and all these crazy things targeting children outside the womb. My heart is protect the most vulnerable among us, and that includes both inside the womb and outside the womb.
So good. Thank you. That's like a perfect description of what you do. I feel like I follow you on Instagram, so that's like a great overview. I want to jump in by talking about what your unplanned pregnancy looked like. I think that one of the most beautiful ways that God reaches people is through people's testimonies. And obviously, he's made your life's work based on your testimony and how he's worked in your life. So tell me about your pregnancy with your son. And also, if you can talk about like what the culture was surrounding abortion at that time, and if you ever considered that, like what was your thought process like when you found out you were pregnant?
So the way I like to say it is, I grew up in a Christian household. I knew that abortion was wrong, but I don't really even know that I actually knew what abortion was. Like, I don't think I just kind of thought, like, oh, that's something that's wrong, but I never thought about what it was. How is it done? What happens to the baby? What stage is the baby in? What's allowed? I really never ever gave it any thought. And I like to say that I knew Jesus, but I was not walking with him at the time. I was a college student and I was 20 years old. I was going out, I was partying, I was doing things that I shouldn't. I was trying to find my identity and affirmation in places I shouldn't have been. And I found myself pregnant. It was interesting. I remember I had been a nanny at the time. And so I was early often. Like, I just always woke up early. Even on the weekends, I woke up early. Once your clock gets going, you just sometimes can't sleep in. And I started sleeping quite a bit. And my mom called me. It was like, I don't know, 1 p.m., which was like crazy for me because I was usually up at like 6 a.m. And she's like, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm tired. I can't shake this. I'm so tired." And she said, "Are you pregnant?" And I said, "No, gosh, no. Like, there's no possible way I'm not pregnant." And she goes, "You've been sleeping in a lot. I think you might be." And she came over to my apartment unannounced and has this, armful of pregnancy tests. Like, I think she had like three of them in her arms. And she's like, "I want you to take these." I'm like, "Mom, you are a literal nut job. Get out of my house. Like, this is so crazy. Please leave." But then I was like, okay, well, I guess maybe there is a chance. And I took the pregnancy test. I remember sitting on the floor of the bathroom. My mom was in there with me. And I see this like faint pink line, and I'm like, I don't think so. Like, I don't, that's, it's too faint. I don't know. So I take another one, and there's another faint pink line. And I'm like, "Mom, there's no way I'm not pregnant." And she's like, "The tests aren't wrong when they say you're pregnant. Usually you'll get like maybe a negative, and you might be pregnant. But if it detects that hormone, that pregnancy hormone, you're going to see a faint pink line." So I remember she just started crying because she had me at 20 years old. I was an unplanned pregnancy. She wasn't married. People had pressured her to abort. So she kind of gave up her early years in a sense to have me. And then here I am kind of repeating the cycle, which I hope to break with my children and praise God. But kind of repeating that cycle of an unplanned pregnancy. And she knew that it was going to be hard, and I think so her mom heart broke in that moment, and I still was kind of in denial. And this is kind of the long version, but she left at some point in time, and I'm watching the OC on TV at night, and then they're having a bonfire on the beach, and I'm like, I'm never going to get to experience that again. Like, I'm never going to be able to have friends. I'm never going to be able to go out. I'm never going to get to do anything, which is so silly looking back. I'm like, you're never gonna have friends because you have a child. Please, you can have friends at any stage in life with whether you have kids or don't have kids. But that's kind of where my head went. And I didn't tell the child's father right away. I gave it a couple weeks. He was doing something for work that was very important that he had, 100% focus. And so I kind of let it be. And then when the opportunity presented itself, I told him, and he did not want me to have the baby. He pressured me very heavily to have an abortion and offered me a large sum of money to have an abortion. And
Wow.
I, in my heart, I knew that was wrong because at that point, I had already, like, I know it was just 2 weeks had passed. I had already kind of been feeling this bond with baby. Your maternal instincts kind of kick in, even if you have that fear. For me, my maternal instincts kicked in a little bit. And so when I had that conversation with him, I said, these are my morals and my values. I don't even really know what abortion is, but I'm not willing to do that. This is not my life to take. I've heard his heartbeat at this point in time. And so it just was something that I was not willing to do. And that was not obviously what he wanted to hear at the time. And so I continued to pursue the pregnancy and, take the steps that I needed to, thinking that I was probably going to be a single mom, and chose life. And it was the best thing that I have ever done. Was it hard? Yes. Was it scary? Yes. Was I fearful of the unknown? Absolutely. Was I overjoyed at the same time? Yes. Because even if you're feeling these emotions and you don't know and you have this uncertainty, there's still sometimes this level of excitement. And I think that's where a lot of young women who have an unplanned pregnancy, maybe they're not married or, they're in an abusive relationship or something, they don't really know what to feel because they feel everything at the same time. And, I was just able to put one foot in front of the other and take it one day at a time. And there was a point in time where I did consider adoption. I said, I'll consider adoption. And my mom told me, if you place this baby for adoption, I'm going to adopt the baby. And I said, well, that's weird. So that kind of went right out the window. I can't be like the mom and the sister, and that doesn't make any sense. But genuinely, once I got further along, there was no way for me that I was going to be able to do that. That was my child that I wanted to protect, my flesh and blood. And I have a young man named Noah now because I chose life.
Oh, that is awesome. So Noah's 16 now, and obviously you're out of those like challenging young years of motherhood, right? But motherhood's always difficult. So no matter what stage you're in, I'm sure that to some extent you're still experiencing a little bit of that, the difficulty of parenthood, you know? And I think that I was younger when I had my first. I was married and everything like that. But the first one of my friends to have a baby, and I still have three like very young children. All of them are four and under. And every day I'm like, the Lord teaches me something new in a way that I need to be sanctified, you know? So I've heard that, you know, I'm a youth leader and all of that. And, it doesn't get any easier, but I don't know anything that shapes you and your faith more than being a parent, which I think is an awesome thing to recognize as well, you know.
Absolutely. Now, I don't think there's any easy stage of motherhood, period. They're all difficult. They're just a different kind of difficult.
Yes.
When the baby is very young and waking up in the middle of the night, you're tired, you're changing diapers. It's much more physically demanding in that way. You're sleep deprived. If you don't have a baby that sleeps well, maybe you have a baby that's colicky, but then, and then you get to the toddler age, they're getting into all sorts of things. And then you get into, the tweens and they're kind of trying to figure out who they are and maybe they push back a little bit. And then the teenagers, they're just ready to be adults and,
Yeah.
they think that they can, make their decisions for themselves and they know everything. And I'm very blessed that my son is, I know every mother is biased about their children, but genuinely, I have a phenomenal son who makes it very easy on me. That doesn't mean we haven't had hiccups along the way or, he hasn't been a typical teenage boy, but he makes it very easy for me as far as just who he is as a young man. He's really pursuing his faith really intensely right now, which I think is phenomenal. He does go to a Catholic school, but we're not Catholic, so he's really trying to learn the differences between, what Catholics believe and what Protestants believe.
Yeah.
And I tell him, I'm like, you can't really believe something if you don't know what other people believe, in a sense.
Right.
Like, kind of need to know what everything is in a way. Like, how do you know if you're actually pro-life or pro-abortion? Like, you can say you're pro-abortion, but if you don't know what abortion is, are you pro-abortion? You know, like, you kind of need to know. So I think it's really good that he's learning about all sorts of different faiths and diving into his even deeper. But yeah, there's no easy age or easy motherhood. You know, there are children who might be a little bit more easy natured than others, but it's all demanding in a different way. But it is the most beautiful work that I've ever done. It is the most rewarding work that I have ever done. You know, I don't have a CEO over my head necessarily. I'm going to have my husband and God, but you know, you're not answering to a boss. You have this little tiny person or 16-year-old child, but I have never felt more fulfilled in my entire life than I have with motherhood.
Yeah, so as we had this conversation, I'm gonna jump ahead to a question I was gonna ask you a little later.
Sure.
But a lot of people who listen to this podcast are teenagers who are from the church. They traditionally have grown up in the church and everything like that. And I guess I want to ask you, like, what would you say to a 20-year-old girl who might be facing an unplanned pregnancy, isn't married or anything like that, and really thinks her life is going to be over? I mean, that's like the overarching narrative that we hear when we hear about pregnancy and unplanned pregnancy and becoming a mom when you're young, is that like it's going to ruin your life, right? So, what would you say to a girl like that now who is considering abortion as an option, to offer her some hope?
Yeah. You know, the first thing, and I say this as kind of like insight for everybody if they ever encounter a woman like this, the first thing is to ask them or to say to them is, how can I help? Because in that moment, there you need to hear them and what they're feeling. They're probably feeling a little bit of the emotions that I said before, fear of the uncertainty. What's going to happen? Am I going to be shamed? I'm going to be walking into, you know, pregnancy, I like to say, is, you know, if you've had premarital sex and you believe that sex, you know, belongs in God's design of marriage, then you have sinned. And pregnancy is the one sin that you can see very visibly, and then people know because you get a bump. You know, if you cheat on your spouse, or if you lie, or if you kill somebody, even like people don't always see that, people don't always know. You can't really hide a bump on your body, a pregnancy bump. So a lot of times when you're talking to them, you know, ask them what they're feeling in that moment. If they feel shame, then relieve them of that. Obviously, there's forgiveness with God. God's grace is so abundant, and you know, there's that element of it, but also there are resources, and your life is not over. It's just beginning. I mean, I can say that with certainty because I've lived that. I've walked that. You know, when I watched this bonfire of these teenagers on this silly show, hanging out, I'm like, oh my gosh, my life is over. I'm never going to get to experience that. It's funny looking back when my son was 2 or 3 years old, we were in California and having a bonfire on the beach. And yes, it wasn't, you know, as a teenager or a college kid, you know, partying and doing all of these things that we shouldn't be doing anyway, but it was with my son and it was so beautiful and just be able to see the world through his eyes. So, you know, I've walked in those shoes. I know what it's like. I know that there is forgiveness and grace. I know that there is fulfillment on the other side of that. Is it going to be hard? Yeah, it's going to be hard. But guess what? So is going to school. That's hard. Going to college is hard. Having a job and keeping your boss happy, also hard. You know, life is hard, but we have to kind of accept that. It doesn't mean we're going to have an easy life, whether we are pregnant or not pregnant. There's plenty of people that I know who don't have children, or who have children out of their home, who they're not in the stage of parenting anymore, and they have a really difficult circumstances that they're facing. You know, a pregnancy and a child don't necessarily change that. Life can be hard at many times, but that doesn't mean that we can ever take a life. And I think that's one of the biggest things too, is telling these young women what a baby actually is and what stage they're in. You know, a lot of times I notice, especially the younger it is, and I don't know if it's comprehensive sex ed, I don't know what's going on, if parents aren't having these conversations with their children. But a lot of people don't even know that it's a baby. When I tell you that I have had young women, 16 years old, 17 years old, who support abortion tell me that a 20-week baby is a clump of cells. And I'm thinking, they're like, it's just a blob. And like, babies at 21 weeks have survived. You know, they have a little tiny head and little tiny arms and fingers and toes and all of these things. And yes, they're still developing, but it is very visibly a human. So offering them all of that support, letting them know about forgiveness, you know, and that you're going to be there for them and that their life is not over. You know, and there's resources. There's resources like, you know, what I do, there's resources with a number of other organizations that I think we just need to pour into these women because a lot of times they're feeling that. And when it comes to the church, I'd say, you know, yes, a woman who has had premarital sex in our eyes as Christians has sinned. We know that. But an abortion is an additional sin. You don't cover up one sin with another sin. And the baby is already here. By the time she's told you that she's pregnant, that action has already happened. The baby is already here. And we need to love her and support her and come alongside her because I promise you, everything else in society is telling her that she can't do it and that abortion is the answer.
Yeah, so good. I totally agree with you. I work for Anglicans for Life, but I'm also a registered nurse and I work in the ER, and I just want to echo what you said. Like, I don't know what it is about even mid-20s, people come in finding out that they're pregnant. They'll be like 15 weeks along and they don't know that that is a baby, you know what I mean? So I think that it's such a disservice that the sexual education in this country has led people to believe that. And obviously it's all connected. Like, it's perpetuating the culture of death and abortion and all of that. But it's a real problem. So I think, like, for parents, for youth leaders who work with students in churches, like, making sure that we are educating kids about that is so important. So talk to me. I want to talk about the organization that you run specifically, Be There Village. Talk to us about, like, the mission, the vision. What are some practical things that you guys do and can kind of offer to people so that they can partner with women in unplanned pregnancies?
Yeah. So what it's funny because I have a lot of people reach out to me like, how do I do what you do? And it's literally so easy. I mean, with me, you know, I've been doing it for several years, so I've kind of built up this following. But you really want, if you have a community of pro-life people and friends, you can do it on a smaller scale. So how I kind of got into founding Be There Village is I had when I kind of started becoming more pro-life vocally on my social media, before I was much more like mom blogger vibes, lifestyle stuff, would share, you know, like baby products or household products and, you know, just like the typical lifestyle type influencer, motherhood influencer, I suppose you could say, smaller account. And I felt more convicted to kind of share that I was pro-life and about my unplanned pregnancy. So I tiptoed into it, shared my unplanned pregnancy. You know, said I chose life for my son and I have this beautiful young boy and everybody's like, yay. And then I'm like, okay, cool. Like people receive that really well. Cause I wasn't vocal about my faith or politics or anything or being at all prior. So, you know, they're like, yay, you know, you have a son, blah, blah, blah. Great for you. Then I say, I go like dive a little bit deeper and like vocally share that I'm pro-life on my social media platform. And people are like, you're the devil. I hate you. You hate women. You're misogynistic. You're this, you're that. And I'm like, okay, well, they didn't receive that very well. Like apparently they're okay if they see my son and they're, you know, give me a thumbs up because I chose life in that sense of like, you made a choice. But I had a lot of people who were very pro-abortion following me. And at the time, it was right around leading up to the 2020 election, I feel like, or maybe no, it had to have been before then. It was before then. Anyway, at whatever point in time it was, maybe it was 20. Anyway, I had women who are also mom bloggers reach out to the brands that I had worked with, Tom's Shoes, Oreo, Band-Aid, Costco, like, you know, big names that you've heard of, and reach out to them, tell them that I was awful human being for being conservative. I supported Trump or whatever, or, you know, she's pro-life. She's all of these things. She's racist. She's this, that, and the other, which is funny because my son is biracial. And I'm like, I promise you, you don't love my child more than I do. So they reached out to them, and I had brands starting to untag me. So I almost didn't really go into this pro-life space because it was something that was controversial. Obviously advocating for life is not controversial. I think it's the other side that is much more controversial. But I was like, you know what? I don't feel fulfilled by talking about all of this, stuff. Like, I'm talking about a vacuum or a onesie, whatever. Like, it's great. These are all things that are needed. I'm not knocking anybody who does that, but for me, it didn't feel fulfilling. It felt like I was telling people that they had to purchase things to be able to feel like a good mom. And I didn't love feeling that way. So I just was kind of dove into being pro-life even more. I was like, if you unfollow me, you unfollow me. And then one day I had a woman message me and she told me that she was pregnant. This was during the height of COVID. Her and her boyfriend already had a child. They had moved back in with her parents, and she was pregnant again. He had just lost his job due to COVID, and she didn't think that they could have a second baby. And so she prayed to God. She set scheduled an abortion. She's like, I've always been pro-life, but I scheduled an abortion and I prayed to God for help. I just said, God, help me. I don't know what I need. Just please help. And she opened up Instagram and saw a pro-life post that I had made, and she considered that her sign from God to not go through with the abortion. And she messaged me and said, I canceled my abortion appointment because of this post that you made. I just want you to know. And it'll make me tear up just thinking about it. It was like such a beautiful way for God to say, you have all these people unfollowing you, hating you, like reaching out to brands you've worked with, but here's this young woman that you've never met, who says because of a post that you have made, she chose life for her son. And so I felt it in my heart. Like I was like, I want to help her more. She had this abortion scheduled and she canceled it because of me. Like, I don't feel like that's enough. I mean, it is, she chose life, which is great, but my heart was to help her even more. So I kind of put up a story on my social media and was like, hey guys, what do you think about if we help this woman? She said she scheduled an abortion. She canceled it because of a pro-life post I made. Would you guys consider like helping bless her? Because obviously finances were an issue and they had to move back in with the parents, the loss of the job, all that stuff. And so I made a baby registry, found out what she needed, and made a baby registry on Amazon. And I posted it. And my followers were like, oh my gosh, we love this. I don't have the money necessarily to write a $1,000 check to a pregnancy center or $50,000 check or whatever. I don't even have $500 or $200 to send to a pregnancy center, but I was able to buy these $5 socks for this little baby and pick it out. I was able to buy these washcloths and these little towels for this baby or this little outfit, or, I was able to contribute to this stroller and car seat. And they're like, can we do this again? Please, can you find more moms? And I'm like, how do I find these moms? I can't just like walk on the street and be like, hey, do you need help? So I started creating relationships, and this is where people can do exactly what I did. I started creating relationships with pregnancy centers, in my area, getting to know them, volunteering with them, finding out how I could support them, and letting them know, obviously, I'm very much on their side. If I just call them, I'm like, hey, I want to help the women, can I have access to them? That's going to be kind of weird. They're very protective of the women that they work with and their situations, because these are essentially patients and you have to, keep their is private. So I started creating these relationships with them and kind of let them know my ideas. I was like, if you have women, I wish I could help every woman. I really do. If you have women who were abortion minded and end up choosing life and are financially unstable, please let me know. And I would love to support them and take a financial weight off of their shoulders. Now, what we do, what Be Their Village does, is pretty much every tangible item that the mom needs. If she needs a, sometimes she's had prior children, so she doesn't need a crib or something like that. But if she needs a crib, a glider, rocker, whatever you want to call it, stroller, car seat, diapers and wipes for a year, clothing for a year from 0 to 3, 3 to 6, 6 to 9. We do enough outfits for each so that she has a few things in each size. We do, baby wash, we do a baby bath, we do literally anything that she needs that is tangible. Oftentimes, we've done a dresser, we've gotten a bed for the mom who was sleeping on the floor in an apartment one time. She didn't even have her own bed, so we got her a bed and a mattress. We've done fundraisers, we've done all sorts of things. So really, it depends on the needs of the mom. And then what's funny is, the naysayers will say, well, that's not enough. Like, you're doing this. It's not enough. That's not going to raise the baby till they're 18 years old. And I say, you're right. Would you like to help us help her? And of course, they block me or they ghost me or they disappear and I never hear from them again. So it's like, we don't want to help. We just want you to do everything. But what's funny is we actually do. We walk alongside them as long as they want. Sometimes they'll reach out to me and they'll say, hey, I'm really struggling to get winter clothes for my kids. Can you help? Or I am struggling to put presents under the Christmas tree. Can you help? What are some other ones? School supplies. We've done school supplies drives. We've done all sorts of things walking alongside them. But what people don't realize, especially these naysayers, is no woman wants to be dependent on a system or an organization or a person for 18 years of life. They want to be independent. They want to be successful in their motherhood journey, in their own lives. So obviously that's the goal, is to get them there. But as long as they'll have us and need us by their side, we're happy to walk alongside them. I've babysat for some of these moms, kept relationships with them. Not all of them, continue our relationship, and that's just fine. I'm not forcing anybody to. There are no strings attached. A lot of people say, what do you expect from these women? Do you make them take classes? Do you do this? Do you do nothing? If they choose life for their child, we want to support them and love on them as best as we possibly can. And that can be done in a big scale, like what we do, and providing all of the tangible items. It can be on a smaller scale of just saying, we want to relieve diapers for you, as many diapers as we can possibly do, or wipes, or clothes, or whatever stage that they're in. It can be done. And when you have that pro-life community around you of saying, hey guys, I was at the pregnancy center today. Maybe it's going back to the youth group or gathering a couple other youth groups in the surrounding area saying, we want to do some sort of a drive. Maybe we do a car wash to raise some money. You could do all sorts of things and help these women. It really is like an endless possibility of ways that you can help. Use social media, hit up your grandparents. Like there's all sorts of ways. My mom and my grandmother, and I have a great aunt, they donate on every single baby registry that I do. If they see it, sometimes they feel faster. But I mean, I have family members who jump in with me too and help me and do all of that. And then we go and wrap all the gifts and we do a small little baby shower for them. And it's beautiful to see. They're so touched. And I get a lot of joy from it too. I can't say that it's just them who are blessed. I get blessed by blessing them. It's really cool to see. And I think it's just a fun way to be able to help, and it's such a relief because when you go to Target or Walmart and you see the cost of a stroller and a car seat, you're like, that's just a stroller in the car seat, and I have to have a car seat. Like I can't drive without a car seat, or you look at a crib or you look at, whatever it is, a baby swing. If you want to place a baby in a swing and be able to take a shower, whatever the types of items that you're looking at, it is flippin' expensive and it's overwhelming. And knowing that you have, obviously you can do, you don't have to have a swing. You don't have to have a crib. You can get a bassinet, you can get something smaller. But it's still overwhelming to even just walk down a baby aisle and see all of these things and look at the price tags and just in your head, it's adding up, adding up, adding up. And that's a financial weight that sits on these women's shoulders. Like, I can't do this. I don't have the support. I don't have this money. And to lift that weight off of their shoulders allows them to be able to make a decision that they actually want to make versus one that they feel backed into a corner, and pressured to make because they don't see a way out.
So good. Thank you for sharing all of those practical ideas. I think that my prayer is that this episode, leading into January next month, is gonna inspire people. Sanctity of Life Month. There's a lot nationally that goes on. There's also a lot locally that goes on, right? So, like, my prayer is that we can give youth groups and families and things like that, really simple, easy ideas for people to get involved, even if they can't go to the March for Life. There are other things that you can do for one woman in your community that God sees and will make a difference for the kingdom, and that will love that baby and love that mom. So I'm excited. I'm going to link Be Their Village and all of your guys' resources so that if people want to check out what that looks like, they can. Like you said, it's so easy to do, but it's
Yeah.
It's something that sometimes we need inspiration and to see someone else doing it, and you do a great job of it. So I'll link to
I'd love to
all of
mention
that.
too, right now it's just a social media movement right now. I do plan to make it like an official nonprofit. And people say, where can I donate? I'm like, honestly, it's just when I have the women that we are doing donations. Sometimes there's a special case where I'll do what I call $1 challenge and people will donate a dollar because most people, you may, like I said before, they can't write a $100 check, but they can get rid of a dollar. They can scrounge up some change at the house and then figure out a way to Venmo it to me. And we've done fundraisers that way when a mom has very special needs. There was a mom whose husband was considered or said that he, if she had their fourth child, she was pregnant with their fourth child, if she chose life for that baby and didn't have an abortion, he was going to leave her. And he did. So we did a $1 challenge. So I do take donations in that way occasionally. But then if something comes up, we did one for mom who had NICU bills. But she ended up getting those covered by the state. And so I like give everybody their money back. Like I'm so particular with not wanting anybody to think this money is going anywhere else. So right now it's just social media and I do it on the money. It doesn't come to me, it goes straight to Amazon and whatever product that they're buying. And then typically it will go straight to the pregnancy center, or sometimes, depending on weird pregnancy center hours, it'll come to my house and then I'll wrap everything and then I'll take it up there myself. So social media is such a beautiful tool. Like it doesn't have to be this, I went out and created this amazing nonprofit and I'm never going to have an organization or, like you can do it so simply with just the community around you. Via social media, via your friends, via your neighbors, your church, whatever it is that you're involved with, it doesn't have to be something elaborate. I
For
think a lot of
sure.
people see that. They see Life or Students for Life or Let Them Live or all these beautiful organizations that are doing beautiful, beautiful things, but it doesn't have to be that. It can be you and it can be you and your youth group or, like I said before, doing a some sort of fundraiser, some sort of bake-off, or some sort of car wash, or whatever, and raising enough money to be able to support a mom in some sort of way, and connecting with those pregnancy centers who can connect you to this mom. So I don't want anybody to think that they have to have some sort of elaborate way to help. It can be very, very simple, and it makes a world of difference in these moms' lives.